Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Things are looking up. The sun is starting to peek through as we get ready for a hump day way back Wednesday. It's Barry Laminack. It's Nick Sciarra. It's yours truly, Joel Blank, the usual suspects in the house and ready to go 1-4. Gentlemen.
What up?
What up?
What's up, playa?
All good? All good, right?
How
Astros
you doing?
Got a late night win.
You all right?
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah. Yesterday was a hell of a day.
Woo! What happened?
I told you guys.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Tell everybody.
I'm not telling everybody what you think I'm telling everybody. I got up early. I had to take four dogs to the vet.
Huh?
Stay down here. Go through work. Wife says, I'll pick them up. 5 minutes before the show is over. Hey, I still can't use the left hand. Thought it was getting better. You're going to have to get them. So that means I had to go from here into the heart of downtown and then go drive back to the burbs to get home, which meant I arrived safely at home after 6 p.m. Not happy.
You probably don't like living in the burbs anymore.
I like it once I get there. The commutes, man.
They're terrible.
And I will never understand Houston traffic. There's no accident. There is nothing wrong with any cars on the highway. And yet 59 is a parking lot anytime after 350.
Yeah. When it rains, this is the worst.
So
it took
then
me
we
an
mixed
hour,
that in there, too.
It took me an hour and a half to get home.
Well, 45 is like 59, right? Yeah. On your way home, isn't it pretty jammed up?
I would imagine it's worse, right?
Yeah, I usually take the Hardy, but getting to it from the Galleria is the hard part. Like, once I'm on the Hardy, it's 25 minutes to the house.
So that's great.
But getting there takes 45 minutes. From here to the Hardy.
The other thing I don't understand is Houston, whatever you call the body of the government that does the HOV/toll lane.
Mm-hmm.
I found out, because I'm willing to pay it at this point to get four dogs that don't want to be in the car home. I'm willing to pay, even if it's the outlandish rush hour, $4.50 to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get told, no, it's only open to 2+ HOVs. The toll is not open. And a friend of mine calls me and goes, oh, you didn't know that? Between 4 and 5 o'clock, it's closed to paying. I go, so you tell me I should pull over at 4:43 and wait till 5 and then get on and I should be able to get on? He goes, yeah. I go, I'm not doing that.
Put a wig on your dog. Put one up front. Wrap the seatbelt around it. Put a wig on it.
I've always wanted to try that dummy idea that I saw in the news before.
Yeah. But I'm sure I don't think that would work.
They've caught on to that, I imagine.
Well, you could put a blow-up doll in there. They'd be like, the guy's riding with that lady, and she looks like she's making an O face the whole time.
Like, I've got like three of those. That might work.
You see Nick's face when you said that, too?
Because three of
it
them.
Was like, it was
that guy's
like,
got a whole carload of bitches.
It was double whammied. He's like, one, I could get through tolls, and two, if she's a redhead, that might work pretty well.
Nick's like, got some road oral yesterday from the woman.
from my sidekick.
From my HOV
co-pilot.
Partner.
Yeah, my
co-pilot. I'm being efficient. I'm getting through on the HOV lanes.
I don't think that road oral counts.
It does. It does in my world.
That's not official.
You put some sunglasses on her.
Yeah. That's weird. I don't know. You know, it's funny because I was watching Kevin Hart's What Now special, and he talks about that. He talks about like sex toys and stuff like that. I've never in my life used any of that stuff. And I don't understand. And I'm sure that's, you know, it's fine. Like, if a lady uses certain things, that's fine. That's her. I get it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, they make weird stuff. Like, and especially he talks about they have, like, an ass.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, a mouth.
And apparently they're worth money.
And they have
What do you mean they're worth money?
So I was watching this TV show. I think it's called Storage Wars, where you bid like on a storage unit.
Locker, yeah.
So this guy was just confident that this unit had like a whole bunch of stuff that he could sell. He opens it up, he finds nothing, and then he finally finds a blow up doll. He's like, "Oh man, these things go for like $300." And I'm like, "Really?"
Was it crazy. the old gray haired guy with the black glasses?
I don't even remember. It was at least a year or two ago.
I know that they'll take a like a porn star's private and make a mold from it. And then
you have
her mold and then you buy it and then you can have sex with her.
So JJ probably has Virginia. 5 of them. But the problem is it's not a complete like what would we call it, a mannequin or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just their butt or their front.
It's like it just goes, it's got like suction cups and you stick it to the table and then I don't know if that's what you do. That's probably, I would guess that's what you do. I don't know.
Usually on top of these things.
But they'll have like.
Well, you're on top, all right.
They'll have like the whole doll, but then they'll have different body parts. I saw one, they had feet. That made no sense to me.
There's people that are just, let me tell you something.
That makes no sense. But if I'm going to buy.
People firsthand that have that foot fetish thing.
Yeah. But if I'm buying something, I'm not buying feet. Like that. What?
That's weird.
Then you got to buy shoes for it. No.
But then I also saw
instead of
doing just the body parts.
And then I bet they paint its toes because that's weird.
The whole foot thing is weird.
Yeah.
But they now do the thing where they take a full body mold of a porn star.
Yeah.
But those things are like outlandish how much they are.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're making them more and more like people. I mean, they're making them like close to the weight. And
did you hear about that robot sex thing where you have to like talk to her and warm her up first? There was this thing. I heard this on The Bonfire with Big J Okerson, which is a great listen, by the way.
Is that
if you're looking
satellite?
For a really good podcast, oh. It's on satellite. It's on XM. It's on Comedy Central. But the Bonfire with Big J Okerson and Dan Soder, really good show. Very funny. Those dudes are hilarious. But they were talking about this robot where, and I'll try to find it and tweet it out, but you have to like, there's three levels before you can't just like start having sex with her. You got to like warm her up or whatever. It's crazy. Or maybe Fred and AJ were talking about it. Maybe it was Fred and AJ.
Because
that sounds like something Fred would bring up. It was like having sex with a robot.
I can totally see them bring
maybe
that
it was
up.
Fred and AJ. But that's so weird to me. Like I'd rather go through the rejection 100 times to meet the one actual chick that I could have sex with.
It's like, yeah, it's like the guy's going, this is exactly why I bought this thing, because I don't want to dabble in foreplay and conversation. I just want to get down to business.
But I don't know about any of that stuff, because then, like, I mean, just the weirdness of the doll, and then you got to take the time, and I don't know if you blow it up, but you got to, like, get the foot pump out, like you're pumping up an exercise ball or something like that, and that's weird, because that's considered, I guess, foreplay for the doll.
Yo Adrian says, and I don't know that, well, I guess he's put his name to it. He sent it to all three of us on Twitter. He says they now have lifelike dolls with emotions, $5,000 to $10,000 a doll.
Bro, you could buy a woman for less than that.
Yeah.
You could go down and have a night with a escort for way less than that.
Yeah.
Pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Ask professional athletes in this town to remain nameless. That's crazy. You're gonna pay $5,000 to $10,000 for a doll? No, come on. That's a little bit out there, but that's what I'm saying. That's what it's getting to. Like these, like there, I forget where the company is. I think it was on HBO or something like that. Where there's a company in Europe that literally makes these dolls as lifelike as possible. Like the weight and the texture, the skin. It's like it's not blow up anymore. It's like like rubber.
Yeah. Yeah.
With real-life facial features and stuff, that's a bit much. It's creepy.
Except the mouth. The mouth is always surprised.
Singing a high note?
Yeah. Oh. Or just, very, very surprised. So, I don't know.
I bet you they will be surprised at some point during the evening. One way or the other.
They have a zombie. Francisco sent me one. They have a Freaks zombie mouth fleshlight.
A what?
Yeah. A fleshlight. But instead of just the regular Virginia, it's got a zombie mouth with weird teeth and a zombie face. Like, who would want to get oral from a zombie? Well,
that's just...
It's like, it looks like a dude's face, too, which I'm not judging. All right.
So evidently, like, the foot fetish thing. The other thing is, there are people that get off on cartoons.
That's Fred.
Really?
Fred's big into that, yeah.
He likes cartoon porn?
Yeah. I always see that category. I mean, I was told that exists, and I'm like, what? Who's watching this?
Right.
I feel like it doesn't. It just looks like a step above Speed Racer. That's like what it just looks like. Speed Racer with breasts and stuff.
Like you it doesn't. It just looks confidently weird. Too. That's Fred.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've heard him talking about that on the show.
I'm at a loss for words. I mean, I'm shocked, honestly.
Like whose list is this? Like, yeah, my I was gonna list. Say thing. That's yours.
Yeah.
They said at the same time too that they'll do like Homer Simpson.
Having sex with Marge?
With a tripod, yeah.
You're like, look at that Marge.
Or like a hot Marge's sisters. Chick.
I always wanted to see what Marge's sister's ass looked like. The two sisters that smoke. Bet they got a sweet ass.
Based on what you picked for your five years, 500 mil, you might want little Lisa to be going.
No. No, why would you put that on me? Why would you put a child
your pick
on me?
Was who? Ariana Grande?
24 years old.
Maybe.
24 years old. Why would you put a child on me? That's not
right. She
looks
like a child.
That's not right.
It was Selena Gomez, and I thought she was 21, and then we looked it up, and she was 24.
It doesn't matter.
She's 24.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why you would do that. That's evil. That's below the belt.
It's George
Burns. The today's theme, I don't think we told anybody. It's way back Wednesday, but today's theme is movie soundtracks.
So this is Diana King, Shy Guy from the original Bad Boys movie, the one in 1995, because you wouldn't allow me to use Bad Boys 2, which is after 2000.
Sorry.
Whatever.
We have rules we have to go by.
Well, we don't all make them, though. That's the key.
Well,
we should all have a say. But we were very confused again this week. I know it's no surprise to the listeners, but at least we got it out that it's before 2000 songs from movie soundtracks. Nick's list is first, and we'll continue to roll through the next 3 hours. So hopefully you enjoy them like we do. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN. That's the HRNP listener line. And you can also hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
I couldn't help but know your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, the usual suspects here in studio at 1:18 in the afternoon on a Wednesday hump day as we continue with Wayback Wednesday. Soundtracks prior to 2000 as the Nick Sciarra list continues to play on.
Tupac, Pain from the Above the Rim.
Good movie.
Lamont just mentioned that on Twitter, too, so well done. Well played.
Oh, did he?
Yep. Good job. We're going to be at Trailer Wheel and Frame on Good Friday. So if you're out and about and off of work, come see Barry and I right inside the front doors of Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North Canino exit, 1 to 4 Friday afternoon. I know, Nick, people have been clamoring in Beaumont to see you. Maybe they'll be clamoring to see you over there on the north side.
That was a nice gesture from Lauren Pope who got that going.
I think she just feels sorry for you, to be honest with you.
She might.
I don't think she really wants to see you.
I'll take it anyway.
The pity?
Yeah. Because you guys are going to go over to Trailer Wheel and Frame and not eat Pinkertons, and you're going to have your little healthy choice, and you're going to have your bowl of yogurt.
It's Rudy's.
Whatever.
Pinkertons, Pinkertons. Rudy's.
Pinkertons. Maybe that's why you don't get to go. Yeah. Pinkertons. You can't get the sponsors right.
I thought you guys said Pinkertons yesterday.
No.
No. Rudy's. Okay. We would never say that.
Well, I'm going to try and look for that idea.
I know what's going on here. What? I keep
Even
it
he
all
had
straight.
To laugh at it.
He does.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
I got to ask you guys. Well, I've not asked you, but I think I know now that my weight loss is effective. Like, I'm almost at 30 pounds. For some reason, I've plateaued. Like, I just can't get to 182. And I don't know why. But I've been, for 3 weeks now, I've been stuck between 183 and a half and 186. But now I get cold really easy. And when I was fat, that didn't happen. So, like, I had to turn the AC up because I'm freezing. in this room. Like, it feels like winter right now. My hands, I need a jacket, which I guess is the trade-off for looking svelte.
Because I've seen Tyler walk in here, like, adjusting the AC.
If you give him a look. If he comes in today, I'm punching him in his stupid mustache face.
I told him.
He looks like an undercover cop. No, yeah, he's like, hey, you boys got any marijuana? Like, bro, we know you're a cop. Like, stop it. You're definitely on patrol.
Nick was there when I asked him. I said, when are you guys starting that tour for the Village People cover band? Because he looks like one of the guys from the Village People. He just has to put the sunglasses on. He could be a couple of different ones.
He definitely looks better with a beard than he does a creepy mustache. And I either go goatee or nothing because my mustache by itself, very pedo. Very pedo looking. You talk about Lisa Simpson. I can't just rock the mustache. Like Movember, few times I've done it, oh boy. I made a few lists. I was on a couple watch lists just from the mustache.
I always laugh at that. It's very creepy. Especially with athletes. They do the Movember thing, and they forget that a lot of times people need the video for promos year-round. Like, even on the PGA Tour last week for the Masters, and they were running, like, promos for the, PGA.
Uh-huh.
And Ricky Fowler has the biggest pedophile porn stash on the planet. And it's like, I bet he looks at that and goes, God, that was during Movember, and I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
He just looks so awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
They do that a lot.
And mine's not the kind where I don't think I can grow it long and curl it up or anything like that. And then I don't think it would look good on my face anyway.
I think you'd really
because no
off
one
the
wants
roll,
to see a dude
pull off the roll
that,
of fingers
that looks like a Jew but has a handlebar mustache. Like no one
as
wants that.
As long as you sound black, no one's going to care.
I mean, a guy that sounds black, looks like a Jew, but has a cowboy handlebar mustache. They would be like, "This guy's so confused."
I could see you with a roly fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I would like that. I know a guy who had one, this was when I worked at Halliburton, and he had the wax and everything, and I'd never forget, I think we were standing in line for lunch or something, and I went, and it was around, it was like, I think maybe the beginning of December, and so I looked at him, and I was like, you grew that out for Movember? I swear to God, deadpan, he looks at me and goes, Movember? No, I don't need a month to make me a man. I was like, wow. Okay, sir. All right. That was probably the best answer you could have came up with.
Right about then,
that.
He showed you the holsters on both sides and the silver gun.
It was sweet, dude. It was a pretty boss looking handlebar mustache.
There's a guy by the name of Hill Fornell that was the producer for the Astros games, director for Astros games for a lot of years, that had the handlebar every day, all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Dr. Red Duke have one?
Yes, he sure did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think that's. I see guys, though, walking around, like, if we're in the mall or something, I'm going, that's not for everybody.
But I feel like now it's very hipsterish to have one. It used to be
like a
rugged.
Throwback.
Yeah. It used to be like a rugged man thing. Like, you had a handlebar mustache and you just installed fences all day. Like, that's what you did.
Then pedophiles getting caught.
Was rugged?
And they had the same stash, so then it became more of like a porn/pedophile stash.
Yeah, and now
it's kind of
a bushy one. I understand that for what you're saying, Nick, but if you actually curl up the
with
end,
the wax?
Yeah, I think that's more like you sing in a barbershop quartet or work at a Farrell's serving ice cream.
No, it's very hipsterish now. It's I only see the hipsters with it.
Now they start doing it to the beards, at the end of the beard.
Really?
Yeah, people start doing that little curly cue on the bottom of the beard and do all kinds of funky stuff.
Oh, that's not good. I can't grow beards, so I wouldn't know. I've never had a beard in my life.
I was going to ask you guys that. Do you have certain areas of your face you can't grow hair?
Yeah, it looks like my yard. It's just brown patch and just got some weeds, and it's not good. It's not.
I can't grow a full-blown beard like that. I mean, I can grow facial hair.
But, yeah, you've got the George Michael 5 o'clock shadow thing working.
Permanent.
And you've got that.
I rarely shave it.
And you've got some spots in it.
Right here.
Yeah, but like mine, I have one of those, but I have four on each side. So it's literally, I've had more people comment if I just let it go, hey, you missed a spot shaving. And I'm like, nope, that is the spot. That's like all I got.
There's a lot of people that there are certain spots on their face they can't grow hair.
Yep, that's me, and I don't know why that is, and I hate it. Oh, I hate it.
I think for my first 15, 20 years in Houston, I had a full goatee, and sometimes the chin music was really thick. And then
you grow a beard?
I've never grown a full beard.
Why not?
I think I can.
Can you?
I think I can.
You should.
I could. Lisa hates any facial hair. Like, just to torture her sometimes, I say, I'm just going to go all week without shaving.
Yeah.
And every time she gets close, looking, she's just glaring at it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's gritting her teeth right now. She hates
it. Yeah.
But now, the only reason why I don't, one of the reasons why I don't have the goatee either is because I got a gray patch, like the size of my fingertip. Oh,
it's all gray. I don't understand that. I'm like 43, and I have the goatee of a 70-year-old man. I have Barry Warner's goatee. I don't understand that.
Which one?
I don't understand.
Well, when he's swimming naked, he's got another one.
That's not.
All right, we got two segments in. We got plenty more to go. Plenty more show. Please join us, won't you? 713-780-ESPN.
I'm going to throw up now. You know that, right?
Hit us up on Twitter. We are the usual suspect. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects at the headquarters here in H-Town on a Wednesday. You did some calculations. In the break.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Yeah. You were. You brought it up.
No, I didn't bring it up on air.
But if we don't bring it up, you will bring it up.
No, I would never do that.
Right.
You came off as a very humble dude, though. When you brought it up.
When I said I'm a genius? Yeah. I only do it because I missed Joel's disgusted face.
Just again, like, that's why we should
just like as soon as I got here today. What I say? So, you asked, hey, can we do this? And I was like, I'll allow it. And then he looks at me with a disgusted face like, oh, you're going to let us? Like, you a-hole.
Well, I wanted to use a movie from
2000.
2000, yeah.
Yeah, 2002 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'll allow it. Yeah, so we did picks from the All-Star break. Yep. Back on 2/23 when they started with New Orleans all the way through today, their final game with Minnesota. So to update you, Nick had the Rockets going 18-6. Very optimistic. Sucking on that Rockets teat.
Three games
bum,
off.
Bum, bum, bum.
Joel had them going 14-10, and I had them going 15-9. So right now, they are sitting at 14-9. If they win, I would nail it at 15-9. If they lose, Joel would nail it at 14-10. But the differentiator, where the genius really shines through on my part, is how many of these games we got right or wrong. Joel's face. I wish I could see his face. Nick, you missed on 9 games. So your records were close, but you just didn't have the right games picked on 9 different occasions.
Okay.
Joel also missed on 9 games. And I missed on 6 of these. Ergo, the genius.
Landslide.
I know.
Running away with it.
But Nick, you're so far out of it.
Yeah, you are.
The flip side.
18-6. Like, what were you thinking? Jeez. God, they're obviously going to be 14-10 or 15-9. I thought everyone would know that.
Here you go.
When they made it to the number 2 seed that one year, when no one thought they would be the number 2 seed because of, like, I guess, like a technicality or whatever, they had 58 wins, didn't they?
That was 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So I figured they'd be on track to something similar.
So, yeah, you had them finishing at 58-24. Joel had them finishing at 54-28, and I had them finishing at 55-27. So they're either going to win 54 or 55 this year.
Is that the franchise record?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know what the franchise record is.
I think it's 54-55.
Ah, okay.
I want to say.
Is it?
All time, yeah. They've never had – I don't think they've ever – because they never had a one seed.
Let's see. Nope, they had 56 in 2015.
I knew it was close. Okay.
And that would be...
That was the year you're talking about, Nick.
57 and 96, 97. 58 and 93, 94. So, yeah, not even...
Were they the one seed in 93, 94?
Not even close. 93, 94.
Yeah, that's a landslide again. 4 games. That's forever and a day.
It doesn't have the playoff seeding
here. They were in the high 50s, too, that one year Barkley came on the team. Was it 95, 96?
It was 98, wasn't it? They lost to Utah?
No, 98. They went 31-19.
Yeah, Barkley was 95, 96.
Oh, that was the strike year. So it was the year before?
96, 97, they won 57 games.
Yeah, that was the Barkley.
Yeah.
That was Utah beating us on that Stockton shot.
Yep.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Ah, the good old days.
Ah, but the playoffs are around the corner.
Who you got? No, I know we have to wait.
Matchups, dude, though.
There's a lot of races that still need to be decided in the playoffs.
Yeah, tonight actually could decide a lot of stuff.
I don't want to bore you with crazy stats and numbers, but in the East, so the one in the two seed, obviously, is what they say?
Cleveland and Boston?
Yep. Cleveland has the tiebreaker with the 3-1 head-to-head against Boston.
Right.
So left on the schedule, the Cavs have the Raptors, Celtics have the Bucks. The 3-6 seeds are locked in. The Raptors, Wizards, Hawks, and Bucks in that order, 3-6.
Yep.
And then the 7, 8, and 9 seeds are still up for grabs in the East with the Pacers, Bulls, and the Heat in 9th. But there's a bunch of tiebreakers in there. The Heat hold the tiebreaker over the Pacers. The Bulls hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Heat. Bulls and Pacers is tied at 2, but Chicago finished with a better division record. It's crazy. And this is like, you literally have to go to like school to learn all the tiebreakers sometimes. Maybe not as bad as the NFL, but the Bulls have the Nets tonight.
Ugh. And the Nets are resting 6 players, and they're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah. The Pacers have the Hawks, and the Heat have the Wizards. So if I made you pick 2 of those 3, they're going to move on, and one stays home. Who you got? Bulls, Pacers, Heat.
Bulls and Pacers get in, Heat don't.
Okay. Nick, what do you think?
Bulls, Pacers. Yeah, I would say the Heat won't get in. I'll go with his. I would agree with Joel.
The fact that the Heat have to play the Wizards. Yeah. I mean, they're all 3 playing at home. But yeah, still that the toughest of that draw is the Wizards. Yeah. So yeah, I would say that
Miami
the Heat
held
might
a lot of credit. Remember that?
Yeah,
they were like
after the Rockets after that big win against the Rockets.
The first one against the Rockets, they rattled off like 10 in a row, and that's without Justice Winslow and all the injuries that they had, and yet they still came back. And we're fighting for, and on the last game of the regular season, got a shot to get in. Man, you got to give Spoelstra some credit there. That's a hell of a coaching job, and that's a heck of a team job to get that close.
And in the West, the 1, 2, and 3 seeds are locked. Golden State, San Antonio, Houston. The four and the five seed is still up for grabs. I guess the 4 seed is up for grabs between the LA Clippers and Utah Jazz. I mean, both of them are going to be 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Just, they're really just playing for home court.
Yeah.
So the Clippers hold a 3-1 advantage over the Jazz.
Are their records right now identical?
They're both 50-31.
So like so if tonight
if one wins and one loses, the Jazz play the Spurs.
Popovich could rest everybody.
And the Clippers play the Kings.
See, the King, I would say it's a tougher game for the Clippers
now,
because the Kings are just going to they don't care and they're going to get their young guys playing like balls out.
But if you're the Spurs, do you feel an obligation to the integrity of the game to play your players since these guys are tied and you know
absolutely
that a win
same. If I'm Greg
win,
Popovich,
if the Spurs win and the Clippers win, the Clippers get the 4 seed and home court advantage. If the opposite happens. Yeah.
If Utah wins.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Utah has to win and the Clippers have to lose for Utah to hang on to the 4 seed. So they need a Clipper loss. If they both lose, the Clips get the so the tiebreak goes to the Clippers. So Utah has to win, the Clippers have to lose. So for the integrity of the game, do you think Pop plays everybody?
No, I think
he's already said he won't. So he's already said that he's going to rest everybody.
He won't did be. Say
he said
that
today?
He said that like 2 days ago that going forward that he will not rest any players. This is the time to get into a rhythm. He's not resting any players.
Okay, I thought he was.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Them.
I thought you said he was going to rest people.
No, he said he's not
so
he's going
not.
To rest.
Okay.
But he is putting Tony Romo in uniform, right? For the integrity of the game.
The 6 and 7 seeds are locked. Oklahoma City in the 6, Memphis is in the 7, and then the 8 seed in the West is locked. Portland, Denver was officially eliminated. Thanks, Russell Westbrook.
But Nurkic still trying to heal a broken leg. They don't know if he'll have. I mean, look, the way he was playing, not that they're going to beat Golden State in a 7-game series, but with him playing, it gives them a fighter's chance to win a game or two. But with him out, that hurts, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. That's about as sad as the Pelicans.
Yeah. Playoff tiebreakers, do you care?
No. I mean, in what regard?
I was just going to give you the first 3 just so people. Best winning percentage. Or a better winning percentage. This is if 2 teams are tied. Better winning percentage in games against each other. And then the second tiebreak is better winning percentage against teams in their own division. And then the third is better winning percentage against teams in their own conference. It goes actually 6 deep, though.
I hate that.
which is, yeah, really
some
weird.
Some of them are just, when and you then, get down to those second, or the third, fourth, and fifth ones,
yeah, it's really weird. Like the sixth is better net result of total points scored less total points allowed against all opponents. That's the sixth level of tiebreakers. Yeah. That makes no, like I can't even process what that means. And then if there's more than two teams tied, it's better winning percentage in all games among the tied teams, better winning percentage against teams in the division, better winning percentage against teams in the conference. And then, yeah, that goes five deep with three or more teams. So,
you going tonight, Nick?
Yeah, I'll be going to the game tonight. It's the last home game, so yeah. I know they're playing the T-Wolves, but I guess they're going to put their JV squad out there. But
who, the T-Wolves or the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Timberwolves are going to play everybody because they blew a game. They lost by two last night to Oklahoma City, who sat Westbrook. But Oladipo hit a shot with about 20 seconds to play. But other than that, they played everybody, and Towns played well, and everybody was playing. Wiggins played well. But, boy, that's a team, especially coached by Thibodeau, I expect more. They don't know how to execute in the final minute of the game. They threw it away.
So when it comes to the lottery,
yeah,
how do they do the balls? Do they like, so because right now Sacramento and Minnesota are 7-8, and they're both at 31-49.
Right.
So it would behoove one of them.
They have a tie. Sometimes they'll have a coin flip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a tie break necessarily. No, a coin flip. Okay.
Normally with draft implications, I believe it's a coin flip at all.
But if I'm Minnesota, I'd try to tank it. I'd want those few extra ping pong balls in there.
Where are the Lakers? Because they lose their number one pick if they're
not. Yeah, the Lakers are third.
That's what they need to be.
Yep.
So they keep
Brooklyn
it.
Brooklyn has the number one overall pick. Well, the odds.
Right.
And then the Suns are second, the Lakers are third.
Which never happens, by the way.
No.
Yeah, that's the craziness of where they think the lottery's all screwed up, too. All right, so we got a lot of NBA talk out of the way in that segment. If you guys want to talk Rockets, we're happy to do so. If you want to talk about the Astros, who got a late-night victory last night amidst eating grasshoppers in Seattle, we can talk about that as well. We've got plenty more show to get to. Please feel free to join us, won't you? 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now I got it. I kind of recognized the voice.
What is
like,
this,
Nick.
Frozen?
No, Lion King.
Lion King. Yeah.
I've never seen The Lion King.
What?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Nope.
It's a must watch.
I haven't either.
I don't watch a lot of the Disney or the cartoon or like I've never seen Nemo.
You've
or
got a cat.
Toys
you watch
or,
it.
I've never seen Toy Story. I've never seen Cars. Ice Age. None of that crap. I don't have kids. I'm not watching a cartoon.
Oh, Pixar, right?
I don't even want to see Sausage Party because that looks stupid.
Really? I bet you that's kind of funny.
I looked up.
Really?
Seth Rogen needs to chill
to
a little bit.
Yeah?
He's just throwing things out there now.
Pixar's
you're ruining it for me.
Really
yeah, because I've been corrected multiple times.
I don't care.
It's
true. No, you're right. Because I've been corrected.
Wrong,
they'd be like,
and it hurt your feelings, I don't care.
They'd be like, it's not a Disney movie, Nick. It's
like
a Pixar movie.
It's like somebody texted correcting me about the mustache that I said was a handlebar and they said it was a French thing. I don't care. I don't care.
Unless like you're right.
Zero. Well, I am a genius.
You see there. Unless you're right, then you care.
No, then I just don't have
then
to
you
hear
your point.
I don't have to hear it from people. But trust me, if I confuse Disney and Pixar, I don't care.
I wasn't saying you confuse it. I was trying to think of because Disney used to be the end all be all for animated
the only,
films. Yeah, and then
only producer of those type of movies.
Yeah, and then Pixar came on the scene. And there's more than one now, but those companies, it used to be, I think when they first had it, it took like years to do all the animation for a motion picture. Now with the computers and stuff, they're knocking it out like lickety-split.
Yeah. Yeah. They get it done. It's much easier.
Yeah.
And it's much,
when
and
it
it's,
first
yeah, a lot better looking. Can we talk more basketball?
Easy,
is that all right? Huh?
Easy, Fred.
Why?
You said a lot better looking too. You're analyzing
the graphics.
Cartoons. Oh, okay.
This guy.
I'm just saying.
So Chris on Twitter had a good question, and he said if the Heat don't get in the playoffs, does that knock Spoelstra out of the running for coach of the year? So that would be part one. I would propose that question to you guys first.
I just think he's an honorable mention. I don't think he should be coach of the year.
It's a regular season award.
Yeah, if you don't make the playoffs.
Yes. So I mean, well, but I mean, yeah, look, I think coach of the year is pretty much sitting in the back pocket of Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
And I give you that there's two other. Quinn Snyder would be a
but
guy.
But he said out of the running. So would you have him in the top three or five if he doesn't make the
just
playoffs?
Just because of what they were able to do to turn it around, yes. Yeah. I still would have him up there. Yep.
Nick?
No, because you got the Celtics head coach. That deserves a lot. You could Brad put Stevens. Popovich pretty much every single season as coach of the year.
Scotty Brooks.
Scotty Brooks with the Wizards.
I wouldn't put him in the top three. That's just my personal opinion.
Who?
Spoelstra.
Oh, okay.
You?
So, yeah, I would probably have him fourth.
Yeah, I have him top five.
Yeah, but so I was looking at this list, and I just wanted to see what you thought. This is put out by, I have no idea how to pronounce this dude's name, Gerald Bourget? I don't know.
No clue. You got the Gerald part right.
He's got Steve Kerr, five.
Okay.
He's got Popovich, four. He's got Scott Brooks, three, yep, with the Wizards. He's got Spoelstra, two. And he's got D'Antoni, one. I think he got it right as far as coach of the year, D'Antoni.
Where's Quinn Snyder and all that?
Yeah, but I don't know. I have a hard time giving it to Steve Kerr and Popovich or putting them in the top five because I feel like anyone could coach those teams and do well.
Yeah, and
Pop,
or,
maybe I could see
except
Pop.
For the Spurs. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I could see Pop. But bro, if you're running out of lineup with Thompson, Durant, yeah, and Draymond Green and Steph Curry, and you can't be a top two team or top three team in the NBA, so, you have no business coaching.
Exactly. So Kerr, if you have a regular scenario, so say Kerr was coaching last season's Oklahoma City team and Durant goes out. Now I'll give you credit if you keep them winning and you get to a higher level.
Yeah.
But when you got three other superstars, no. And with Popovich, if you had major injuries and a bunch of stuff, and I know Hafe's already typing out a tweet to me, but the fact of the matter is, in past years, you might be able to say, yeah, Pop really deserves it because that team was. This year, it's like old hat, and there wasn't any like major catastrophes to get over or big hurdles for me. That's why I think when you look at the body of work, I think Spoelstra, Quinn Snyder, Scotty Brooks, and D'Antoni.
Okay.
And I'm not necessarily saying in that order, but I think those are the four guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think Quinn Snyder has to be in there, but I think Brad Stevens has to be in there.
And I was going
to
say, that's the one because I was looking at the Nick.
No one expected the Celtics to be the. I think the Celtics were like considered more like what the Jazz are, right? Like, oh, they've got a good, young, solid team, and they'll compete. They'll be somewhere in the middle of the playoff run. But they're in the driver's seat. Like they could be the number one seed in the East.
Yeah,
and I don't think anyone expected that.
I mean, well, I felt like they showed a little progression last season.
But Mikhail and I go
yeah,
back
but
and
number
forth
one
on
in
this.
The East progression.
Yeah, they were like top five or top four last year.
But Mikhail and I go back and forth on this because he's obviously a staunch Celtics guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I think you could argue they don't even have a superstar. Like right. Isaiah Thomas is getting there, but Isaiah Thomas on a lot of other teams in this league, I'm not sure would be as effective. Al Horford, above average, big time salary, not even really to me like a bona fide all-star every single year. But what they've been able to do and the fact that, like Barry said, I mean, if they get the number one overall seed, yeah, he definitely has to get a lot of recognition for that. Not as much as D'Antoni, but he's definitely got to be up there.
Right. So. I think I would have him too, Brad Stevens, and then Quinn Snyder, three.
And I think Washington's story is pretty good too, because there's another team that they thought, well, they got some pieces. They'll make the playoffs. The East is weak. But to be where, a couple weeks ago, they were the two seed, but they've slid a little here late in the season, and that counts.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, Casey's not getting much.
No, because Toronto's crapped the bed all over the place. Yeah. And yes, they've had injuries, but when you add a guy like Ibaka.
Yeah.
To the team they've already had.
This is my five. I think I'd go D'Antoni, Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, Spoelstra, and Popovich.
No Scotty Brooks? See, I take Pop out, put Brooks in, and that's about where I'm
at. That's a good call. Yeah. All right, I will do that too. Yeah, I think that's a good solid five.
Yeah.
I don't think you're not penalizing anyone, but you're not giving somebody like Pop, hey, You've got two really great players there. So
I mean, he's got enough statues to make a wrought iron fence in the front yard, too. He's won the award a few times.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got Red Auerbach sitting on a bench in about six different locations in his yard.
Right.
One other thing I wanted to bring up that was supposedly taboo, and I wasn't supposed to mention it early on, but now it's starting to get out there, and I checked with some people today. But one of the things on this whole MVP balloting that people were not aware of and they weren't going to make public that we kind of touched on in the past, but I think it's really going to be a factor, is the fact that they have eliminated all team broadcasters from any votes on the MVP and or the postseason awards. And I think why I think that hurts is you're talking about guys that are, whether they're forced to or not, it's their job to watch every single game that their team plays. I think, you know, we touched on, I don't know if it was Barry or Nick, one of you guys said, I think the one thing that they should do is alter that to where they're not allowed to vote for their own players, which they used to do. But I think that you get some national media guys that are worried about writing stories all year but aren't really following the game that closely on a night-in, night-out basis. And I think the fact that it's now all national publications and national, you know, ESPNs and whatever that get all the votes, I completely disagree with that. And I think that that hurts James Harden.
Yeah, well, it is. It's going to hurt him. I mean, the national media is absolutely, and you said this, and they're in love with the glamour of what Westbrook is doing.
Yep,
they're absolutely, and it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, and that's a shame because, look, and here's the other thing that I keep stressing, even to a guy like Kurt Lowe, but to all Rockets fans that are looking for that stat that completely bashes Westbrook, tip your cap, man. This is one of the greatest races that'll go down in the history of the MVP. Both guys have had just phenomenal seasons. Mm. Don't hate on one because you want the other to win. Because, one, there's no chance of it based on the way they do the voting. There's no chance to have a co. But this would be the year to have a co simply because both guys have played out of their minds great.
Wouldn't the year to have the co been 2 years ago with Steph and Harden as well? Well,
that would have been another one. I think both of them would have been.
Yeah. Well, he was making the argument that Harden should have won. I think some people did. So, yeah, that would have been a good year for a co-MVP.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, Russell Westbrook, just going back to what you're saying, yeah, you're right. He doesn't deserve the hate, but I think the team kind of does. Because obviously someone in that organization had a meeting and said, hey, man, let's help Westbrook get those rebounds. It was so obvious what the team was doing in terms of rebounds.
On social media, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, there's been times James has stayed in the game when they've had a 20-some point lead just because he's got to clean up the one rebound or the two assists that he needs.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen one or two or maybe even three.
Well, I asked the question. I don't know. Did I ever ask you this on air? But I know I brought it up when Nick and I were at the Rockets game last time. But I noticed that Harden on free throws would take a position on the low block while you had Ariza and Nene in the game. So Ariza would be up top boxing out the shooter. Harden's down low and across from Nene, and I'm like, why are we
That's
doing
a good
that?
Point right there.
Why are we doing that?
That's a really
and
good
I thought,
point.
You know what? I need to ask Joel, is there a basketball reason? Because I couldn't think of one.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't want Harden either you would want Harden boxing, but it wasn't because the shooting guard or anybody was down on the low block as well.
Back, yes, there's a complete reason for it because James is going to pick up full court and put pressure on the point guard of the other team
and
make sure he cleans up on a couple of steals.
Sure.
Not.
Yeah.
Because
I'm like,
no
he would either be boxing out the shooter or, more importantly, since he sucks at getting back on defense, you put him behind the three-point line so he's already back.
Plus,
but
to
no,
box someone
he's
out,
down,
you got to put an ass on somebody?
Yeah.
He ain't doing that.
He's down low with Nene.
I didn't even notice it until Barry pointed it out.
It's very suspect to me.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because they've highlighted it in the last couple days where guys have said, look, the easiest way to get a cheap rebound is right
free
off
throws.
A missed free throw because guys are kind of half-assing it anyway. And They
He's
all
been
relax.
There. It's been a couple games like that. Anthony Munoz said Billy Donovan deserves Coach of the Year with all his triple-doubles. His hashtag is Thoric. Hey, Barry doesn't care about Disney and Pixar like I don't care about this show until 4. That was from Anthony. Thanks, Anthony. We love you, too.
Yeah, Anthony, continue to make those choices and make them well because you're obviously listening and that's all that we care about. The other thing is Tony Romo didn't play last night.
Yep.
But
and
he
I
was
had no
there
problem
in warm-ups.
With it.
I did enjoy seeing the air ball that he threw up.
He chunked up an air ball?
In pregame.
Well, one-on-one with Dirk, he airballed. But then one-on-one with, what's my guy from Wisconsin, the point guard. He actually drained a step-back jumper that
in
looked
his
pretty
eye?
Good. And after the post-game press conference, he goes, at least I was one for the day because I did make the one shot. But yeah, so and the humor of the day was Bucks fans then started saying, "I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers show off his mid-range game when he's ready to retire." And Rodgers said, "I'm working tirelessly on my mid-range until that day comes, and maybe the Bucks can bring back Drew Gooden as my shooting coach for good measure." So now NFL guys across the league can't wait to make their NBA debut. We'll be back with much more show. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more on the docket. If you want to join us, please do. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.